I'm Steve Potter, and later on Cityscape, Soundbites. We look at Sauce Magazine's The Ones to Watch and discuss the best in food and drink in 2014. But first, Zlatko Čosić is a video artist with degrees from Washington and Webster Universities. His latest exhibition, Zlatko Čosić, Still Adjusting, opens 1 week from Saturday at UMSL's Gallery 210 and features 7 short videos and an installation inspired by his experience in the former Yugoslavia where he was born. Zlatko, welcome to Cityscape.
Thanks for having me.
You left Yugoslavia in what year?
I left Serbia in 1997 and moved to St. Louis, but Yugoslavia kind of ended around 1991.
The question is, are you still adjusting?
Yeah, I'm still adjusting. I think we all adjusting in some way. I'm adjusting. I'm still coming from another culture. Maybe I'm somewhere between my old culture and this new culture I live in. So I'm adjusting. I explore this kind of adjustment through making art. That's that. I mean, the reason I call the show like that, Still Adjusting, it's just because of the everyday challenges I have. I mean, starting from speaking English and my accent or where I'm coming from and all this unknown for many Americans. So maybe I get not understood or in a way maybe discriminated because I'm coming from somewhere else or because of my accent, for example. But also, I'm kind of exploring my own past and what happened to me and what happened to many people in former Yugoslavia. So art was the way to express myself and share with others.
But even after a decade and a half, is that frustrating that you're still adjusting?
Actually, I like it. Since I lost my country called Yugoslavia, I felt like I don't belong to any of those other new groups and nationalities. So I rejected all that. And I didn't want to be labeled or grouped, so I lived with some kind of idea of not belonging there. And that took me out through 3 years of the war in Yugoslavia and the region in Bosnia, in my hometown. But I found that that way was like, it gave me like a good base for performance almost. So when I live in America in a way, I am adjusting, I'm living this life fully with a lot of happiness. I do reflect to the past, and I found myself still not belonging there or here. It makes me more global, like belonging everywhere, and I like that feeling of like not being labeled or belonging to certain really negative groups that surround us. So
this exhibition really addresses your psychological journey as well as your physical journey.
Yes, and many pieces in the exhibition are performative. Some of them are documentary in a way, like hybrid documentary. Instead of presenting in a theater, I found a way to do this in the gallery. So they are maybe more experimental or complex way of presenting a documentary film. But some of the narrations, spoken word, that's narratives in my pieces are related to not just me, but to all people that lived through that war in Yugoslavia or any trauma or bad events. So I think I'm trying to generalize and cover many social, political, and different issues we have.
You've said that you feel as if you're part of a performance caught between your past and your present.
Yeah, there's that liminality, being stuck between, kind of. So I do feel that way because even today when I'm preparing to come for an interview, I'm like, I'm trying to be sure everything is clean, what I say, clear. I mean, that you can understand me and everybody else. So it's almost like I'm in this performative mode. If I was born here in St. Louis, this would be kind of a piece of cake maybe to deliver my message because I'm, conscious about the way I speak. Will I be understood? So in a way, it becomes this preparation for something.
Did you speak English before you came here?
No, I never spoke English. I studied German and my language.
That has to be tough. Yeah. Before we talk more specifically about your art, since this is really about you, your experience, I'd just like to delve into that a little bit. During the war in Yugoslavia, you and your parents were forced to leave your home. How old were you then, and what are your earliest memories of the turmoil there?
Before the war, we all lived in some kind of like good vibe, good positive energy. But as soon as war started, people started not liking each other. And then all of a sudden your neighbor if he or she is from different nationality, religion, there's some issues in some parts of the neighborhood, they would throw a bomb inside of your house. So it's kind of like giving you signs you should move. So many people did leave my neighborhood, but my parents and me, we stayed till 1990. My parents stayed till 1995, and I stayed till 1994. But eventually, my parents got kicked out from the house, and they moved out from Bosnia, and they live in Croatia, still in some kind of a refugee status.
Oh, so they're there.
Yeah. So they live there. I mean, the house is given back to us in 2006 or something. But I left a little bit earlier because in 1994, in December, they came to arrest me, to take me back to some kind of forced labor. So I had to escape my house. Like in 93 till 94, me and my father were in a forced labor, so spent 8 months in the forced labor. And eventually we got released from there. And, you know, I had this summer off or something. And then they came back to pick me up, and I knew they're going to take me to front line to dig trenches. So I refused that. I escaped my house, and it took me 10 days to fake ID and move through the war zone as a military student to Belgrade, where I lived for 3 years, where I studied film and kept applying to move to other countries. So,
now, is that where you worked at the McDonald's?
Yeah, so I got one of the first jobs was McDonald's, where I worked for really hard. It was a really hard job for me because my boss was extremely mean. But anyway, it was a great discipline. It always seemed like some kind of military discipline to me in that place. But anyway, they came to arrest me one day to McDonald's because those days, the local government, they were arresting people from Bosnia. They were studying in Belgrade. So I was also in school there, and they came to arrest me and bring me back to take me back to Bosnia to war. So when the military police came, they couldn't arrest me because my manager told them that the company belongs to a franchise international company, so they didn't have any jurisdiction on to arrest me in that property.
Really?
So they left several days. I mean, I quit the job, and eventually they stopped all that arresting. But that was interesting. So just before I moved to America, I got a recommendation letter from McDonald's. Written in English, my first recommendation letter. So one of those letters and other permits and IDs and documents will be in the installation called Identity Artifacts.
Wow. So you moved here without your parents?
Yeah, I moved here, yeah.
What was that like?
Well, I was already kind of challenged living by myself in Belgrade for 3 years, like leaving my parents and living on my own. So I was prepared to move. I mean, I knew after the war is over, it's going to be hard to find place. It's going to be hard to find hometown. It will require a lot of moving and a lot of different apartments. So when I got papers to move to America, which I was actually rejected first time I applied, and then when I complained, they said, okay, you're accepted. You're moving to St. Louis.
They told you where you're moving?
Yeah. I actually could choose two cities, which it wasn't St. Louis when I picked, but 7 days before my flight, they said, you're moving to St. Louis.
We're talking with video artist Zlatko Čosić about his exhibition, which opens January 25th at Umsel's Gallery 210. Zlatko Čosić, still adjusting. Well, there are a lot of immigrants from that part of the world in St. Louis. Did you have relatives here? Did you know anyone here?
No, I was something called free case. No relatives, no sponsor to move here. So it was challenging, first several years living here.
Well, you have degrees from Washington and Webster. Did you come with any money? How did you do it?
Oh, I had like maybe 500 Deutschmarks, which is, I don't know, let's say it's $500. That's all I had. You know, I got a little help from International Institute. Uh-huh. They immediately got me a job a month after I moved here. So that would generate some money, $6 per hour. And eventually, a little food stamps, like maybe first 3 weeks. And after that, I was on my own.
And I should say that I know you from STL-TV, which is owned by the city of St. Louis, because I didn't see you all that much, but I worked with you there for quite a few years. And I had no idea about this backstory until right now.
Now you know.
Now I know. Well, the installation element of your exhibition, you referred to it a minute ago, includes personal papers and other items. And I'm looking at one of them right now, which I guess is your passport from 1989?
No, it's actually ID, Lična karta, which means a personal ID of sorts. So it's the main ID, like you have your driver license / ID. So that's the last one I received before Yugoslavia disappeared.
So one element of your exhibition are items like these. Would you talk a little bit about what else is in this category?
Yeah, there are several different documents and permits I received throughout my life in that part of socialistic system. So many of them are just old IDs, school IDs, including my personal ID, some passports, including permits I got while in the forced labor throughout the war. I was receiving these permits in order to be able to simply walk outside. So you need a piece of paper when police stops you to see what you're doing, if you're a soldier, or if you're a student, or if you're in the labor. So I was in labor, forced labor through the war in the forest, working with my father. So they gave us these permits, and there's several of these permits I would receive monthly. And that would help me, for example, if I want to sign up for a class, I have to have some kind of permit, like to prove what I'm doing throughout this wartime. So there's some of those documents, and there's some interesting documents of becoming a refugee in Serbia or United Nations special protection numbers when I became officially international refugee. Those kind of documents, it's a pile of them, and I call them identity artifacts. They belong to one person, in this case it's me. Some are a photo IDs there, and they, of course, change because I'm aging, but there's also change of country from Yugoslavia to Republika Srpska to Bosnia. And later, coming to America, there's some elements of that identity and capitalism living in America.
When I look at the paperwork and I hear you talk about it, how did that make you feel? It almost makes me think it would make you feel like you're a criminal or something.
Yeah, I guess maybe I am a criminal.
No, I didn't say you were.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe I should call criminal artifact. No, I mean, it kind of goes back to faking one ID, which is my only criminal act I did. But in order to save my life, I had to do that. And the picture that's on that ID I was talking about, which is on the postcard, the main picture I'm using for the show, picture kind of looks like the one when I was dressed as a military student and in uniform and faking this ID.
I like your flat top, by the way.
Yeah, it's flat. It kind of looked like a flat top with this ID I faked. But, you know, it was that was my first performance, actually, in real life, faking somebody's ID, pretending they have that accent, living with different name for mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days to go through the war zone just to save myself. Later, I found out that, you know, that's a performance. And
let's talk about the video element of your exhibition. You have 7 short videos. A couple of here, let's mention quickly. Only the Chimney Stays. It looks like we're looking at a picture of a building in the aftermath of an attack or something.
Well, this piece, Only the Chimney Stays, it's partially based on what my father used to say. Whenever a house goes down, only the chimney stays. And many people left their houses because they had to, but they left gas tanks inside. They imploded them from inside. So the walls collapsed, but the chimney stayed. So my father, he's a bricklayer. He made many houses in his life, 50 or so. So he would always say that only the chimney stays. So these photos are taken by my wife, Rachel Chosich, who went to the war zone and took pictures of these chimneys. So they end up in this piece. And it's a complex structure with 4 images going at once. On the video. So there's one image with 3 smaller images. So it goes through beauty and ugly. So if the war damaged the architecture could be ugly, there's also this beauty of nature, a beauty of these childhood images. Mm-hmm. So while living through this forced labor, I always found myself looking at the nature, and that kept me going. So this piece is kind of balancing beauty and ugly.
Another video I thought that was really fascinating, something you called 31 Days. As I understand it, it was a routine that you actually went through for 31 days in a row. Can you explain that briefly?
Yeah, 31 days. It was a time whenever I come back from visiting my country, Europe, or whenever I come here back, like after several months, I feel a little bit lost. So I kind of stopped making art. I felt like I need something else. So it was time to change the structure, the way I work. So I set myself rules. I'll wake up every morning at the same time, go to front of my house or back porch and take one photo behind my back, just randomly without looking at the photo, and record 30 seconds of sound on that same spot. So while doing this for 31 days, I never looked at the photos, I never listened to the sounds, I never did anything but just kept writing about this experience, about making peace that doesn't really exist. I'm not looking at it. So after 31 days, I compiled and used 15 photos, attached sound to it, and added the excerpts from writings I did for all these 31 days. So there's a broken poetry in the piece, which kind of comes closer to the end of the piece. And I did not use camera for any other project. It was kind of like cleansing project for me. And since that day, I approach every new project with different structure. I plan a lot. I think a lot about it. I balance my ideas with other people. So bounce ideas with other people. So, yeah, that piece was, it's one of my favorite by far. It was living it, performing it, and making it.
We're talking about an exhibition of video and installation art. UMSL's Gallery 210 presents Zlatko Čosić, Still Adjusting, opening January 25th, running through March 22nd at Gallery 210, and they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to UMSL's website, and you can find out more about that. I should say, too, we know you from your various work over the last few years in the St. Louis International Film Festival and Showcase. Are you still doing that?
Yes, yeah, since I moved here, my first movie, Zone, which was done at Community College, was presented at St. Louis International Film Festival. And since then, I made 16 short films that were presented between St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase and St. Louis International Film Festival. I just love screening my work there, and I love the Cinema St. Louis and all they do for this city and all filmmakers around the world.
Zlatko Čosić, Still Adjusting, January 25th through March 22nd at Gallery 210. One final question for you. You know, the premise of your work, of this exhibition that we've been talking about, seems to be about your journey and your confusion and other issues that you faced in order to assimilate here. So I guess my question is, has your journey ended?
Well, I think it came to some kind of conclusion. And it was an exercise I've been doing for 16 years living here. So from this point, I think I'm closing that body of work that reflects closely to my past and former Yugoslavia and people related to all my past. But now I might move into a different kind of social and political themes or maybe something happy altogether. I don't know, but it did help. It was a great journey. I loved it. Once I opened the door to that past, I just loved floating there and coming up with these ideas. So,
Zlatko Čosić, thank you for sharing your journey with us today.
It's thank you.
Fascinating. Next on Cityscape, Sauce Magazine and The Ones to Watch. This is St. Louis Public Radio.